We're going to start it off. Okay, so today is Daf Nun Dalet. Today's Daf is sponsored. We have two sponsors. First by Bruchy and Kenny Norensberg, Lezecha Nishmas Moshe Dov and Shol Pinchas. And by Dr. J and Dr. Kita Lisker, Lezecha Nishmas Yisrael Akiva Ben Natali, whose your side, I believe, is today. The Neshamos should have an Aliyah. So we are on Daf Nun Dalet, and we're going to continue discussing the Mishnah that was mentioned. Different types of, I guess, devices or things placed on the animal that one may or may not put on the animal to go out with on Shabbos. And the main issue with these things is twofold. It's either because it's not something that the animal typically wears, so it's considered a burden, a masoi, or there's a fear that the item will fall off and that you will then, you know, pick it up and carry it, you know, dal amos v'sarabim, and you'll move it. So the Mishnah that says harichelim yotzos kavulos. The rechelim, which I guess are defined as the ewes, right? The ewes may go out tied with this thing called the kavulos, which, as Rashi points out, lashon kivle barzel kashura. This sounds like tied iron cables. I mean, lashon of kavulos is cables. So Rashi says, my kavulos. What are kavulos? Shemichablim al yoshalehen lamata. What they would do is they would tie the tails over their genitals, I guess, so that kadesh lo yalu aleim zacharim, so the males wouldn't mount the females. So Gemara says, my mashma dahai kavul lishna delo avid perihu. How do we know that this language of kavul means something that doesn't produce fruits, right? Kavul means something that prevents the production of children, or denotes something that's not productive. So the ksiv, so the Gemara brings down a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Melachim. This is talking about the story when Chirom, who was Melech Tsur, he gave a lot of materials. And he gave skilled labor to Shlomo HaMelech to build the base of Mikdash, and in return, Shlomo paid him back by giving him 20 cities in the Galil. The problem was that Chiron wasn't so happy with the cities that he was given, because he says, Maha ha'arim ha'ele asher nasata li. What are these cities that you gave me, right? Vayikra lehem eretz kavul ad hayom hazeh. And he called him the land of kavul, which is our language, the land of kavul until this day. My eretz kavul. What does it mean by eretz kavul? Amar Rav Huna said, Shahayu ba b'nei adam shemichubalim b'kesev uzav. It means that there were people in there where they wrapped themselves in silver and gold. I guess it seems to be that they were independently wealthy, and if they were independently wealthy, they had no need to work. And if they had no need to work, I guess they didn't have a capital gains tax, they only had an income tax. And if there was no need to work, they couldn't tax them. Right, so that's why. So the Gemara asks, right? If they were full with kesef and zav, why does it say, right, ihachi haino deksiv v'lo yashu be'enav, that he didn't like them, that they didn't please him? Why? Mipnei mechobal mekesef zav lo yashu be'enav. These are wealthy cities. Why didn't he like it? So Amalei, he didn't like the kaven da asirei umufanaki, since they were very wealthy and they were, you know, they were funakim. They didn't work. Lo avi avidasi. They didn't work. They wouldn't be pressed into the king's service, as the art scroll says. They wouldn't do the work. And there was no way to tax them. So he didn't like them. You know, he wanted slave labor. This was not slave labor. So that's why. So kavul shows that they were not productive. They didn't do the work. It's eretz kavul. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar, he says, no, eretz chomton haisa. It was a land of chomton. What does chomton mean? So Rashi points out that chomton means malcha umitbakas. It was very, I guess, salt, filled with salt. And I guess people would sink into it. I mean, it wasn't very productive land. It wasn't arable land. You couldn't plant. Right? Eretz chotman hav. Again, also that means that it's not productive. Am I karli kavul? Why do you call it kavul? Timishtagra bakara at kavla. Because, so why is it called kavul? It's because when it was such bad land that when you would walk on it, you would sink, your foot would sink up to the kavla, which I think means the ankle. The Amri Inish, Eretz Mechavlot L'Avid Piri, or it was ankle-deep land that does not produce fruit. Either way, this is, again, an idea that this land wasn't productive. That's why it's called Kavol, and that's how we get our language of the Recholim. So Kavulos means something that prevents productivity. Okay, the Mara then goes to the next thing in the Mishnah, was that the Rechelim, right, the Rechelim, the youth can go out Kivunos. They can go out with this Kivunos, which basically means tied. So my Kivunos, what does it mean, Kivunos? So it means shemichabdim oso lemelas. They would put something on the sheep, and on the sheep that they would protect it with something that was tied. Right? What does Rashi say? Shemichabdim. Rashi says koshin beget sivivo. They would put this cloak around it. Biyom shenolad, on the day it was born. Shetzamro naki, when the wool is clean. At the day of the birth, they would wrap the baby with this cloak in order to save the wool, so that it would be very white. It'd be white to be used for melas. Melas, something white. And how do we know that melas is white? Kedetan, we learned in the Mishnah, se'es ketsemer lavon. Right, se'es, when it comes to tsaras, is like white wool. Right, umait semer lavon. What type of white wool is it referring to? Amar Rabbi Rabbi says ketsemer naki ben yomo. The Mishnah means that the clean wool of a day old sheep or lamb. Shemichavin also lemelas, which you cover. They cover it for the purpose of making melas. So again, so kavunos means, I guess they may go out. This kavunos, I'm not sure why it's considered something that they can go out with. It's permitted, I guess. Either it's a restraint. It's some sort of restraint, or it keeps it clean. Oh yeah. Right, so why can they? But the kavunos is what? So that's something that's for the benefit of the animal. It's not a masoi. It's something that's typically used, so it's not considered a masoi. It's not considered a burden. I guess it was also tied tight, so you're not concerned that it's going to fall off. All right, then the Mishnah said, "Sorry, you have to figure out why what things mutter, one things aser." Okay, then the Mishnah said, "The ha'izim yotzos tsuroros." The goats could go out. They had this pouch tied onto their udders. So right, there's a three-way machlokus in the Mishnah. The Tanakhama says you can have this tsroros no matter what. Rav Yossi says it's usser no matter what. Rav Yehuda said it depended. If they were tying this up to dry the milk up, then it was mutter. But if they were just using it to collect the milk, let drift out, then it was usser. So then the Gemara is just going to show that this three machlokus in the Tanaim is also a machlokus in Psak by the Amoraim. Itmar, Rav says halachah Rabbi Yehuda. Rav says halachah calls like Rabbi Yehuda that says it makes a distinction between when you're using it to dry up the milk as opposed to collect the milk. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says the halachah is like Rabbi Yossi, who says that it's mutter in all situations. Some say that Rav and Shmuel just made it, said there's machlokas without referring to the Mishnah. So why would they not want to refer to the Mishnah? Tosas points out because sometimes they had messed up yourselves in the Mishnah and they didn't know who said what. So instead of saying, I pass like this person, they can actually say the Shita itself, you know, the rule itself as opposed to the person. So Rav Amr Yavish Mutter, Rav says that the pouch is used to dry up the milk, then it's mutter, the lola chalif, and not if it's used to collect, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Ushmuel Amr, and Shmuel says Echad Zevi Echad Ze Aser. Both this way and this way is Aser, which would be again the Shita of Yossi, the being consistent. And then the Gemara says another version of Shmuel's statement. Some say that it was stated in referring to this brisa. Izim yotzos tsuros liyabish. The goats can go out with this pouch tied around their udders if it's used to dry up the milk. Avol lechelev, but not if it's used to collect the milk. Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Amru. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira is another shita. We haven't heard of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira yet. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said kach halacha, that's the halacha. Aval mi mapis. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein achanami, that's the halacha. But when you're walking out and you have this pouch tied underneath, how can you determine? How can you tell what the purpose is for? Who's doing it for what? How do you know that it's for drying up the milk or it's for collecting the milk? When we tosha ein makirin, and because people can't tell which one is which, so I guess you have a maris ayin issue here. So then he says, echad zevi, echad ze aser. So in takana we say that they both are going to be aser. And Amr Shmuel says, v'amar la Yehuda Amr Shmuel, halachik Rabbi Yehuda Maseira. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda Maseira, who says because you can't tell the difference as to whether or not you're putting this pouch underneath to eat, to dry up the milk, or to catch the milk, we're going to say that it's aser. It's interesting, Rashi says, Shmuel da Amar Tefach Lahaure Halacha Lemaisa, right? Us to Lashmi'inan. Shmuel's coming here just to tell us what, in practice, what we're going to do. The Habal Limlach Armin Le Tefach Shalola Hakel Bisurin. Wrong Shmuel. Sorry. Get to that in a moment. Get that later. That was the wrong Shmuel. Okay. Sorry. Scratch that. Okay. Back to the Mishnah. Mishnah now is going to give us cases of where the animal may not, right? The previous Mishnah said things that the animal can go out with on Shabbos, and now the Mishnah is going to give us a list of things where the animal may not go out on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Ubame eino yotza, right? What does the animal not go out with? What can it not carry it, go out with, right? So the Gemara says, Lo Yetze Gamal, and most of these things we'll learn in the Gemara, and Lo Yetze Gamal be Mitul Teles. The camel can't go out with a Mitul Teles. So we have to see what that is with a Mitul Teles. And then also it says, Lo Akud Velo Ragul. It cannot go out bound or hobbled. So Akud sounds like a Kedas Yitzhak, like it's bound. The Gemara's going to get to that. It seems that they used to tie the feet in a certain way that it was enough for the animals to walk, but they couldn't run away. So they were tied up, so it couldn't go so fast. They wouldn't run away. Right? Velo akud velo ragul v'chein kol shar behemos, and that's the law of all other animals as well. Velo yikshur gemalim zeb zev yimshach. You can't tie the camels to each other and pull them. And if you see all the pictures of the caravans, right, all the pictures have the camels lined up in a row and they're all tied together. So you can't tie them together if you're going to walk with them, right? Aval machnis chaval mitoch yado v'yimshach. What you can do is you can gather up all the ropes, you know, all the reins that were for each camel and hold them in your hand. Ubilvad shelo yichrok. The problem is you can't wrap the ropes around your hand to make it easier. You have to hold them each individually. You can't wrap the ropes. Okay. So now the Braisa, a qualifying Braisa, Tana, the point of Braisa, Lo yetze hagamal b'mituteles hakshur lo biznavo. The camel can't go out with this mituteles that's tied to its tail. Aval yotzehu b'mituteles hakshur biznavo u'bichotarto. But you can go out with mitutelos that if it's tied both to its tail and its hump. So we have to just figure out what this mitutelos is. So it seems to be that the Rashi seems to quote it, it's some sort of strap that anchors down the load on top of the animal. So it prevents the burden, the load, from sliding back or forth when the animal goes uphill or downhill. Right? So others say that the mitutelos could be it's like a cloth that you put on top of the saddle, I guess, which would then be similar to the mardas of the donkey. Okay, so you can't have this mitutelos if it's tied, I guess, only to the tail, because then again maybe it'll slide off and then you'll pick everything up. But if it's kshur b'zav no ubichotemo, but if it's tied to both the tail and the hump, then I guess it's fastened tightly and you're not concerned it's going to fall off. Amaraba baravuna yotze hagamal b'mitutelos hakshurala b'shilyasa. Literally means the camel can go out with the mitutelos tied to its placenta. But that's difficult because the placenta, I believe, it's an internal organ. It's not something that you can really tie to on the outside. So maybe it means the area. Maybe it means the area around where it could come out. You put it and you can tie it to that area because it's a painful area, right? So that the genital area is a painful area. So if you tie it there, then you're not going to be concerned that the animal is going to shake it off, because if he moves it too much, he's going to cause himself pain and then it won't fall off. That's just my guess. Okay. The Mishnah then said, Lo akud v'lo ragul. It can't go out, which is defined as bound, which is akud, or can't go out ragul. They define it as like something being, you know, also a different type of tied. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Yehuda says, Akud, what does akud mean? Akud means akedas yad v'regel. It's like tying the hands and the feet together. Now, I can't believe that you're talking about that you actually tie them tight together, then the animal's just going to fall over. I think it means that you wrap it around to a point where it can't extend its legs too much, so it can't gallop, it can't run away. But that's called, so akud means akedas yad v'regel. Right, and he says, ki yitzchak ben Avram. Like Yitzchak was tied on the Mizbeach, which is that his hands and his feet were bound together. Ragul, what does ragul mean? Ragul means gabezroa v'yikshor. It means it means that you would tie the one leg to the front leg to the back leg or something like that. Some way to prevent it from bending its knees. I'm not exactly sure what does the article say? He says, bound means that its legs are chained together. Hobble means that its one lower foreleg is bent upward toward the upper foreleg and tied. You know, some way to tie the leg itself to prevent it from running. Well, like that, yeah. But how does it walk? You're right, but how does it walk? I mean, it's only one of them, so it's on three. Okay, that could be good. So one of them, so it's on three. This way it can walk. Yeah, it can walk, but it can't run. Okay. Okay, so Meisvei. So now they're gonna ask a question on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that akud means that you tie the forelegs and the hind legs together. You bind the hands and the foot. He says Meisvei akud. What does it mean akud? Shtei yadayim ushtei raglayim. The two forelegs are tied together, or the two hind legs are tied together. That's not akud. Yitzhak was tied his arms to, you know, his hands to his legs, which would mean the hind leg to the foreleg. Here we're saying both of the foreleg is tied together and the hind legs are tied together. And Ragul is Shalo Yokov Yodol Gabizro Vyikshur. Right? That's like you're saying, you can't bend its lower foreleg onto its upper leg to, like you said, like the bent. So the Gemara seems to say here that Rabbi Yehuda, that akud, the definition is different. Your definition of akud was tying the front legs to the back legs, and here the definition of akud is tying the front legs together and the back legs together. So the Gemara says, Huda Amar ki haitana. Rabbi Yehuda follows the following Tana, the Tanya, from his learned, they learned in a Braisa, akud akedas yad viregel. Oh, shtei yadayim v'shtei reglayim. Akud means either or. It means the hind leg to the foreleg, or it means both hind legs together, or both hind legs together. And ragul, what we said before, is lo yikof yado agabi zrovi yikshor, to bend it and tie it together. But the Gemara says akati lo damu. Rabbi Yehuda's position is still not the same, right? Why? Because Yehuda said, gave us the definition that it meant front leg to hind leg, and here the Braisa is giving us two definitions. It's either or. So the Gemara says bishlamo reisha v'seifa nicha. Okay, the reisha and the seifa fit into Rabbi Yehuda. Front leg to hind leg is akud, and ragul means tying it bent. But mitzias or kasha, but the middle part of the price, so which says that bound also means the two forelegs or the two hind legs together, that's against Rabbi Yehuda, because he did not say that that's the definition of akud. So I said, okay, you're right. Elohuda Amrka Haitana, he holds like the following Tana, who says, akud, akedas yad v'regel, ki yitzhak ben Avram, that bound means the binding of the front leg and the hind leg together, like Avram did to Yitzhak. And ragul means, again, ragul shalo yikof yodo agabez rovi yikshur. And ragul means that, you know, again, like you said, bending it and tying it to itself, right? Very, very, I don't know. Below yikshur gemolim. Okay, now you can't tie the camels together and pull one of them, right? You can't line them up in a row and have the string go through all of them. So you're walking the animals through the rishus haravim. You can't have them tied up, right? Aval machnis the mishnah. I'm sorry, my time. What's the reason? Why is this aser? Amar vashi mishum demechse kiman deazol lichindga. Because it appears like you're going to sell your camel in the shuk, right? It looks like you're setting it up for a sale, right? Chinga actually means a dance. I guess, you know, you're parading the camels in front of you or behind you in order to sell them. And I guess that looks like it's Maris Ayin, I guess, because people don't, people looking, it seems like it's a Maris Ayin and Issa the Rabbanan, right? Because Mekach with Memkar and Shabbos is only a Din the Rabbanan, right? And then Maris Ayin and Din the Rabbanan, I think that's what it is. Right, you're not allowed to do that because it looks like you're bringing them to the shuk to sell. Aval machnes, but you can gather all the ropes into your hand and pull them all together. And they said, but as long as you don't wrap the ropes around your hand. So Amar Rav Ashi says, why can't you wrap the ropes around your hand? Lo shanu el inin klayim. That's not a Hilchos Shabbos issue. That is a Hilchos Kelayim issue. It's a shot. It's a Kelayim issue. So the Gemara says, well, what shot? What Kelayim are we talking about? Like you can't. Gemara says Kelayim demai. What are you referring to? Elim a Kelayim the Adam. If you're talking about it, it means a Kelayim of the person with the camel. So the person is pulling the camel together. Meaning, if you wrap the rope around his hand, then he would be tied to the animals. And then if the animals are pulling something, or if the animals are drawing something, then you're working with the animals, and then that you would be pulling together with the animals, and that would be kalayim. But there's no such thing, the Mishnah Gemara is going to prove, there's no such thing as kalayim by a person with animals. Right? It's a shor and a chamor, can't work together, but there's no such thing as a person doing it. Ba'atanan, learned in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in kalayim, or it's a parakles, right? Adam mutter im kulo lachro shalimshoch. A person, it's mutter for a person to plow or to pull and load with any other animal. There's no such thing as kalayim with a person. So what kilayim we're talking about? He says, no, ella kilayim de chavolim. Maybe you'll say that Rav Ashi is referring to the fact that the ropes themselves would be kilayim. I mean, some of the ropes could be from wool, some of the ropes can be from linen, and if you wrap them together around you, you'll wrap them together, that would be kilayim. But the Gemara then says, but that can't be, because I guess it was learned in another Mishnah, or another Braisa. He says, Vatanya, Hatochev techifa achas ein chibor. If you make one stitch, right, one stitch between the wool and the linen, that's not considered a chibor, and that's not considered a connection. Here, there's no stitching; you're just wrapping it around. So, if one stitch isn't considered a connection for shatnez for kilayim, so certainly just wrapping it is not considered a connection. The Rishonim also point out that the person who's doing this is not doing the idea with kilayim of wearing kilayim. The problem is for warmth. The person here is not doing it for warmth. He's just doing it so it's easier to travel. So it must be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says davar sheinu miskaven is aser in the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Anyway, that's a side point. But even so, it shouldn't be kilayim here because it's not stitched together. The Gemara says, no, you're right, but la'olam kilayim dechavolim. Really, Rav Ashi is discussing kilayim of the ropes, v'hachika amar, and this is what he says. You have to add to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, well, the Mishnah meant to say, u'bilvad shlo yichroch v'yikshor. You can carry them in your hand, provided that you don't wrap them and tie them. Meaning that maybe you would tie them and make a knot on them while you're tying them, then you tie them all together, and now you'll have kilayim. So the concern is, lest one come to have ropes that are mixed wool and linen, lest one come to take those ropes mixed with wool and linen, tie them, and wrap them around his hand. That's why you can't do that. Okay. Amr Shmuel says, now the Mishnah said that you can pull it, but the ropes apparently were not made of one material. The ropes here are made of multiple. There is a mixture of wool and linen in the ropes. One rope is wool, one rope is linen, one rope is wool. Right. Then I guess it wouldn't be, but here they're concerned. It's a takana de rabbanan. That's the concern. So Amr Shmuel. Shmuel says, when the Mishnah said that you can pull the camels by their leashes, and when it was just a rabbi, you can pull the cow by the leashes, this has halacha l'maisa for those people who have dogs, how do you walk the dog on Shabbos if there's no Erev, right? Amr Shmuel, ubilvad shlo yetzei, the word chevel mitachas yogel tefach. Yes, the leash can't extend out of your hand, it can't extend out of your hand like a tefach. You can't have it coming out of your hand a tefach. Why? Why is that? Where's Rashi? So I said that. No. Right, I know. I thought I saw it in Rashi. Maybe I just saw it in one of the notes. Okay. The second. Okay. Shelo yetzi chevel. Right. Shel rosh hachevel lo yetzi mitachas yodo tefach lemata. The dummy nami kinesu biyodo. No, that's the next one. Okay, it's okay. But it's the same idea. If it's coming out of your hand too much, there's a concern that it looks like you're carrying it, that you're not using it as a leash. It looks like you're carrying it, right? V'hatanya, but didn't Shmuel say tfachayim that it can go out two tfachim, and we just said it can't go to tefach? So Amar Abaye, this is what you're talking about. Nick hashla the Amar Shmuel tefach utahane debe Shmuel tfachayim Shmuel halacha lemaisa asa. Looks like you were right. That's what we're talking about. And the idea is it looks like it's not being carried, but Shmuel one place says tefach, one place says tfachayim. So here, and this was the Rashi I was referring to earlier. Shmuel says halacha lemaisa asla shminin. Shmuel is coming to tell us the halacha what you should do. Really, the halacha is tfachayim. But Shmuel is being machmir, and he's passing, right, in typical Jewish fashion, he's passing the chumrah, right? It's like the art school halacha books. Don't look at the footnotes on the bottom. On the top, they're always machmir. Really, the halacha is tfachayim. But Shmuel's concerned, so he says tefach. And that's what he says. It's Shmuel, the Amar tefach, la'aure halacha lemaisa asa. He's telling a tefach to teach us halacha lemaisa. La'ashma'unim, da'aval limloch lefaneinu. If someone asks you the shayla, say tefach. Shalola hakal bi yisurim, not to be too makel. Miyu at tfachayim leka iser. But really, there's no iser up to tfachayim. The leash can be extending two tefachs out of the hand. But lemaisa, we tell people one tefach. I guess we're concerned that if you tell them two, they may need use three. So if you tell them one, they'll leave two, and they'll be okay. So the Gemara that it says, carrying, yeah, it looks like you're carrying. You're not, but it looks like it. Right, v'atanya. But we learned in a price, that you can pull the animal by its leash so long as you raise the leash a tefach from the ground. Right? The leash can't be on the ground a tefach. So the Gemara says, no, ki tanya, ahi bechavla debeni ubeni. That price is talking about the part of the rope. You can't have the slack of the rope, can't have the ropes going down to a tefach on the ground. Right? As Rashi says, the chavla ben ubeni, shebein yodo legamal, bahuka amar kama debeni niu, bevachi gbimin a karpa tefach. That only, that's to be a tefach above the ground. That way it looks like if the rope has to be taut, right, that it's be tight, so it looks like the behemoth is being pulled by it. Because if it's not taut and it's just dragging, it doesn't look like it's being used as a rope. It looks like it's being carried by the behemoth like a masoi. So, I mean, halacha l'maaseh, if you're walking a dog, I believe, if you're walking a dog without an eruv, you have to make sure that the leash is tight, that the leash doesn't go down. You have to be careful that the leash doesn't come out of your hand, and you have to keep the leash tight so it doesn't drop beneath a tefach to the ground. Okay. Now the Gemara Mishnah is going to continue giving us a list of cases of things that the animal is not permitted to go out with in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos, and we're going to basically read the Mishnah, and we'll get to some definitions in the Gemara. So, ein chamor yotze b'mardas b'zman she'en akshulo. Right, the donkey can't go out with the mardas, we said, with the saddle cloth, if it's not tied onto it. Again, the issue is going to be whether or not something is going to fall off, you'll put it back on, or if it looks like a burden. So, ein chamor yotze b'mardas b'zman she'en akshulo, v'lo b'zug afo pishu pokok. It can't go with the bell on it, even if the bell is closed up. The lobe sulam shebet savaro. It can't go out with what's called a ladder, right? A ladder on its neck, right? These things are apparently valuable. So if it falls off, we're afraid lest you come to carry them when they fall off. The lobe ritzur shebaraglo. It can't go with a strap on its leg. The ena tarnagolim yotzim bichutim. The chickens can't go out with the cords. Whatever that means. The lobe ritzur shebergleim. They can't have the straps on their legs. The ein hazichorim yotzim ba'agola tachas ha'al yeshlehem, the male, which are the rams, right? Those are males. The rams can't go out with this little wagon that they kept under its tail. It must be something that they used to protect the tail. The ein harichelim yotzei chanunos, the females, the ewes can't go out chanunos. We'll see what that means. The ein ha'egel yotzei begimon, egel is like a young cow, which is the calf. It can't go out with the gimon. We'll find that also. Velo para be'or ha'kupar, they can't go out. Kupar, I think in Hebrew, means a porcupine. But so he defines it as hedgehog. Basically, it's some prickly skin that you would put on it. I guess it would protect, you put these prickly things around its udder to protect it from other animals, I guess, coming, trying to nurse from it. Right? The cow can't go out with this thing on its udders. The lobirit suash of incarnel, it can't go out with a strap between its horns. That we already saw a couple days ago, because that's a machlokas rav Shmuel about the extra shmira, right? Parasol shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya haitzayotza ritzur shel ben karnel, but the cow that Rabbi Elazar ben Azarya owned, it used to go out with a strap between its horns, v'shalo ratzon chachamim, and that was against the will of the chachamim, even though Elazar ben Azarya was actually, you know, the nasi, or at least 25% of the time he was the nasi. The chachamim did not agree with this, with what he did by having his cow go out with the ritzulos between the horns. We'll get to that as well. So the Gemara then says, my taima, what is the reason why, and Lisa has a blank, but the article says, my taima over here, that the donkey can't go out with the mardas. He says, kida amaran, like we said earlier. What is kida amaran? So on Gimel Amad Aleph, they said it can't go out with it unless it's tied before Shabbos. Because if it's not tied before Shabbos, then there's no evidence that it was actually needed on Shabbos, right? And therefore, it looks like a burden. If you put it on before Shabbos, then it shows that you're actually keeping it to warm the animal. But if you didn't put it on before Shabbos, then it looks like you're just putting it on as something for him to carry, and it's a burden. That's what the Gemara said on Mem Gimel Amad Aleph. Then the Mishnah said, "Velo," right? It says, "Velo besulam shebet savaro." The donkey can't go out with a ladder on its neck, right? What is that? So he says, "Amar Rav Huna beiloa." It's some sort of brace tied to the cheek. The lamai my avdilei, and what was it done? Lehecha the islay makad lo hadr chayefei. It's a case that there's a wound on the animal. You don't want the animal to bite the wound. You know, I mean, see those dogs that have like that cone on it after you neuter them. So you don't want it to eat the stitches. So that's what I'm thinking that it is. It has this thing on it that it's not going to turn around to scratch it. It prevents the animal from turning its head toward the wound and eating it. So I guess here this. Because we said earlier, Rashi points out, we said earlier that the animal can go out with splints on a broken limb. So what's the difference between that and this? See, it must be here is because that this cone is very expensive. So we're afraid it's going to fall off, and that it's going to and you're going to pick it up and carry it. So if your animal just has that on, leave it in your house. Don't take it out that Shabbos so it doesn't go out in the Shasar Abim. Okay, the Mishnah then said, "Ve'enar tarnagolim yotzim." I missed one. I'm going back. I missed the zug, right? Let's go back. I did the sulam, but I missed the zug. Velo bezug, right? Just go after the. Let's go back to the Gemara. My time, kedam run. Velo bezug, afu pishu pakuk. The donkey can't go out with the bell, even if the bell is stopped up. You're saying the bell stopped up. It's not making noise. It's not making. It's not klezemer. But nevertheless, you still can't go out with it on Shabbos. Mishum demetzik amanda azulachinema. Because again, they used to put these bells on it, I guess, to beautify the animal, and it makes it look like you're going to the shuk, like you're going to the marketplace. So again, that's a Mara science issue. Then we said the sulam, and now we're back to the ritzua. And the donkey cannot go out with the strap on its legs. Why? The avidi le ligizra. This is some sort of strap that they made to protect it from hurting itself. And again, it would wear. I don't know. Maybe it's on the hoofs. I'm not sure where it is. It's something meant to prevent the animal. Again, the idea is that it's probably expensive, and if it falls off, you're going to carry it. The ainer tarna golem yotzim bichutim. The chicken can't go off the cords. What are these cords? The ovulei simon kihechta lichfu. These cords are sort of like they wrapped a string around a chicken, so everybody would know whose chicken was whose. Like mine is a red string, yours is a blue string. That's what they would wrap them around. And these are identifying marks, right? That they would go out. I guess these are not necessary for the chicken, and therefore it's considered a masoi, it's considered a burden, and they can't carry out. And then it says velo beretzua. They can't go out with the strap on their legs. What were these straps for? Is the ovulei kihechta lichbru mani. These were straps that they made for the chicken. Somehow that it prevents the chickens from kicking the stones. I guess they would tie. The Rashi says they would tie the legs of the chicken together with a strap, so it couldn't lift its feet, so it would step on the pebbles and shoot them out. Remember the Gemara in Bava Kamma talks about sroros, about pebbles that shoot out, and it talks about stepping on stones and they would shoot out. I guess the chickens would often do that, so they would tie them so they couldn't lift the legs. Again, the idea here is that this is not something for the chicken, it becomes a burden. It says, V'ein ha-zecharim yotzim ba'agala, meaning the males, the rams, can't go out with this wagon under their tail. Ki heichiv lo chamtan al yasa. The wagon was used to protect the ram's tail so it wouldn't be bruised. Probably the ram's tail was soft, easily bruised, and when they would walk, it would bang into the rocks and stones and bruise the tail. So they put this sort of wagon underneath the tail to protect it. So I guess maybe there is something expensive. I'm not sure which reason it prevents us from using this on to carry it out on Shabbos. Then it said, "V'ein haruchei." Well, no, it's defining for us. The problem is the Mishnah. You have to remember the Mishnah is written in Eretz Yisrael, which is in Hebrew, and these terms are not necessarily known by the people in Babel who speak Aramaic. So all the Gemara is doing is defining what these things are, so you know what they are, so you don't take them out. Either they're expensive that you might carry them, or it's not considered something that's necessary for the animal. It's considered a masoi. Some of them I can figure out. Some of them I'm not sure. Okay. Maybe the wagon's expensive. Sorry, Josh. Right. Right. So what Nick is saying, maybe this goes for the other reason. Maybe the reason here is because these wagons are expensive and you're afraid it's going to come detached and then you'll move it or carry it in the Rishus Rabim. Those are the two reasons. That's my guess. I think he's right. Okay, ve'ein arichalim yotzeit chanunos. The females, the ewes, right? I don't know how to pronounce it. Ewes or ewes cannot go out with the chanunos. So now we have to figure out what these chanunos are. Yossi, because no one knows what they are. You have to tell us what we're not allowed to go out with. So Yossi Rav Acha Bar Ula kamed Rav Chizda. So Rav Acha Bar Ula was, I guess, he was sitting before Rav Chizda. But Yossi Gomer, he said, mishar shegozinoso. So when they shear the sheep. Okay, so they shear the sheep. Now the sheep is cold because he literally just took off his coat, right? You sheared off its wool, right? Until the wool goes back. Tomim la ezek b'shemen. So they put like some oil compress on it. Umenichin la apedachta. And then you place this compress on its forehead. Kedesh lo titstanin. To protect it from getting cold. So they did this really wonderful thing for the sheep to protect it. And that's the chanunos would then be this, this compress on its head. So they say, no, they can't be. Amalei Rechizda, imkein asisa marukva. You're treating the sheep like marukva. Apparently this is some sort of like spa-like treatment that you wouldn't necessarily do to the animals. Marukva, who's apparently very wealthy, that he would get this type of treatment. But no one would ever do this for the animals. You don't give them such treatment. So Elda, so rather it means as follows. Yosef Rapapa bar Shmuel kameid Rechizda, v'la Yosef Amri says, no, bishar shekoras leled, when the sheep is crouching to give birth, tomla shnei azokim shel shemen. Again, then you put these two compresses in oil. Umenichla achas alpidacha ve'achad echad alpidachta ve'echad alarechem. You put one of it on the sheep's on its forehead and one by the womb, so it becomes warm. So Gemara says again, this is not something that you do. This is not something that you do. This is for the Amar lo Rav Nachman imkein asis liyalta. Now you're treating the sheep like yalta. Yalta is Rav Nachman's wife, and that's something that you did for humans. You treat them nice. Again, the sheep are not paying for the spa, so they're not getting these treatments. So what is chanunos? What are they? So Ela Amar Rav Huna ish echad yesh bikrache hayam. There's some sort of tree, some in the foreign lands, the chanun shmo, and it's called the chanun tree. umeviyim kitem umenichlam bechotma. They would bring a chip of the wood from this chanan tree, and they would put it in her nostril, in the sheep's nostril, kedesha titatesh v'yiplu darne rosha, so that she would sneeze and all the worms in her would come out from inside. They put this in there, of course, of the sneeze. So I guess here this is a burden of some sort. But the Gemara says, if that's the story, then why is this only usher for the females, for the sheep? The male sheep should be also usher to have this. Why is it only specified the ewes? So the Gemara says, the males don't need that because the males, they butt heads all the time, apparently. Right? So the males, since they butt heads all the time, that's enough to get the tolayim out of their noses. The females who didn't butt heads, they would put this in their noses. So this didn't. They put in the noses, you can't cry out with it on Shabbos. That the Gemara, fine. So now we understand why it's called Chanun. It's called a Chanun because that's the name of the tree. But Shimon Nazir Amar, Shimon the Nazir said, Kisma de Ritzma. Right? They would put a chip of Ritzma. Kisam is a toothpick in Hebrew. So Kisma, I think, means like a chip or some sort of pick. Right? Kisma de Ritzma into the sheep's nostril to make it sneeze. Right, it's the risma. Rashi says to make it sneeze again for it to come out. So Bishma the Rav Huna hainin the kani chanunos. According to Rav Huna, I understand why the Mishnah calls it the chanunos because it comes from the chanun tree. Ela the Rabbanon, right? But the Rabbanon who called it these other cases, right? That we rejected. What was the significance of the word chanun? How did they get to those definitions? What's the chanun? So Gemara says the avdalei who milsa the merachmin alayu. No, because putting this oil compressor on it and everything like that, you're doing things for the mercy of the sheep. Like Hashem called rachum the chanun. Chanun means to have mercy. You're doing something for rachamim, and that's why they were able to give those definitions, even though we rejected them. I'm assuming it's because it's some sort of burden. It's not necessary. All right, so they don't need this. They don't need to sneeze now. They can sneeze later. They can sneeze in the Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. All right, ve'ena egel yotze b'gimon. Right, the calf can't go out with the gimon. So my egel b'gimon. What does it mean, the gimon? Amrav huna bar nira. So a gimon is the son of a yoke. I guess it's a small yoke. Rashi says they had these small yokes. They would train, right? They would do this to train the animal to keep its head down, to push it down. So I guess it would be able to graze or something like that. I don't know. He says that they would use it to push it down. What he says, Barnira. He says, Rashi says, Ol katan, a small burden. Shemenich and egal b'tzavro. They would put on the calf's neck. Shealamud lekofro shol lichishayagadel, to train it that its head would be bent down. I guess maybe this is a burden. So Amar Rav Eliezer, my mashma da gimon lishna de makeuf. How do you know that the word gimon means bending, like to bend down? He says diksiv, because he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Right, this is where Hashem tells the people that I'm just reading the article here. Hashem explains to the people that he rejected their fasting because it was not accompanied by sincere tshuva. He says halachof kaagmon rosho. It's like to bend one head's like an agmon, which is like a fishhook. So gamon is bending, same thing gimon. Then the Mishnah says, "Velo para b'or hakupar." They can't go out. The cow can't go out with this skin. So again, like I said kupar. That meant porcupine. He translates it as a hedgehog. What's the reason? Davidile ki hechidul limitsuni yale. He says it's a shield to protect it, the cow, so that the leeches. Rashi says the leeches don't suck her milk. Tosfos doesn't like that definition because leeches don't suck milk. Leeches suck blood. So he doesn't like the definition of it being of it being leeches. He says. Toso says, where is it? Mitsuya Yale, he says, oh, Paris Rashi, the Hainu Aluka, the Aenir, the Aimutsul Saladam, Vodan Mimalukos, Vodan, he says, Venir de Ilu, the Yali, Hainu Nami Kofar, that the Yali itself are these hedgehogs or porcupines. So these animals used to come and try to nurse off the milk, so they used to put these, I guess these sharp things on the udders to prevent them from trying to steal the milk. This must be a burden of some sort to the animal. That's not necessary for it to be carried out on Shabbos. It's not. It's just. I guess to protect your investment. It's not necessary to protect the animals. Therefore, it's a masoi. It's a burden. And then the Mishnah said, the lo beritzua shebein karnel, the cow can't go out with the strap between its horns. And as we mentioned earlier, ila rav, if it's going to rav, it's bein lenoi, bein lesham aser. It makes no difference what the purpose of the strap is for. If the purpose of the strap is for beautification, then that's a burden. It's adornment. It's an ila shamer. It's also aser because the cow doesn't need the shmira. It's too much shmira for the cow. The cow doesn't need the string. But ila shmuel, but according to shmuel, the amr lenoi aser lesham muter. But shmuel says it would only be aser if the strap is there for beautification. But for shmira, it would be muter because shmuel says that shmir yaseirsa is allowed on Shabbos. Then the Gemara quotes the end of the Mishnah, Parasho Sher Velazar ben Azariah, the cow of Velazar ben Azariah. The Gemara says, wait a second, V'chada Par Havilei, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, this Gemara comes up a few times in Shas, Rav Elazar ben Azariah only had one cow, but Rav Elazar ben Azariah apparently was an extremely wealthy person. V'amar Rav, Rav said, V'amar Le'am Yehuda Marav, Tresa Alfei Igli, Havi Maiser, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Me'edri Koshata V'shata. Rav Elazar ben Azariah used to take 12,000 cows as his Maiser every year, which means every year he was taking Maiser off 120,000 cows. So he had two, so what do you mean, the one cow of Rav Elazar ben Azariah? So Tosfos asks, well, what's he taking off Maiser for? Shmuel says, historically, Rav Elazar ben Azariah lived after the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and already after the times of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, how were they doing Maiser? They was a takana not to take Maiser. So Tosfos goes through to try to explain what's going on. Maybe Rav Elazar ben Azariah, this is when he was younger, took it off before, because if you do the history, so at the times of the Churban, the Nasi was Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right, and after Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, you have Rav Gamliel. And then Rav Gamliel has a whole to do with Rav Yeshua, and then Rav Elazar ben Azariah comes afterwards. So he's clearly after the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So they said maybe the takana of not to do Maiser was only later. Maybe Maiser here means he was doing it for Maiser for Tztaka. He was giving it away for Tztaka. Different answers as to why it is. But nevertheless, how can the Mishnah say the cow of Rav Elazar ben Azariah when he had minimum 120,000 cows a year? So I saw in the Shiur Mitzion B'Halacha, it says, what's the big deal? Oftentimes, we refer to somebody who has multiple things as singular. The cow, it's his cows. You know, that doesn't mean that it was just one individual cow. The Gemara doesn't go that way. So the Gemara answers to something that's also big Musar Haskel. It says, Tana lo shelo haisa. The cow was not his. Remember, this is the cow that went out with the strings and the Chacham didn't like it. It wasn't his cow. El shoshkeinoso haisa. It was his neighbor's, right? His female neighbor, shkeinoto, his female neighbor's cow. But because he didn't protest what she was doing, it's called his name. Meaning, if you have the opportunity and the obligation to protest if someone's doing wrong, and you don't, what was done wrong is then on you as well. So, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan, they taught, and the Gemara interrupts what they're talking about. He says, "Bekula de se de moe kol hai zuga chalufe Rabbi Yochanan mali Rabbi Yonasan." Yeah, this group of Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Chaviva. But if they're learning anything in Seder Moed, you take out Rav Yochanan and then Rav Yonasan. I guess Rav Yonasan was part of the Chabura for Moed, and Rav Yochanan was part of the Chabura for all other of the learning. So, but it says they say Kol Mi She'efshar LeMachos LaAnshei Beis LoMicha. Anyone who has the ability to make a protest to give Musar against what the people of his house are doing, but does not nitpas al anshei beiso, then he's punished for the aveira that they did. If it's on you and you have the ability to stop it, you're going to be punished if you don't. Right? But anshei iro, nitpas al anshei iro, if you have the ability to protest against the people of your city and you don't, you're punished if they do something wrong. B'chol olam kulo, nitpas al olam kulo. And if you can protest what the whole world is doing something wrong and you don't protest, meaning if you have the ability, if you're one of those people who have the ability that people might listen to, that you're supposed to say something, you're better off saying something, because then if they don't say something and they do the Avera, it's on you. So Amar Papa says, Vahani de Reish Galusa nitpsua kuli alme. He says the people in the Reish Galusa, in the house of the Reish Galusa, they're punished for the Averas of the entire Jewish world, if they don't protest. So the Gemara now brings a pasuk to support this. Kihadam Rav Chanina, like Rav Chanina would say, my diksiv, what does it mean when the pasuk says, Hashem b'mishpat yavo im ziknei amo v'sarav. Right, Hashem's going to come to judgment with the zikanim, which are the elders, and the sarim. So the Gemara says, im sarim chatu. Gemara is assuming that the zikanim didn't do any averus. So if sarim chatu, zikanim my chatu, what did the zikanim do wrong? So the Gemara says, no, ela ema al zikanim shlo micha b'sarim. The problem is that the zikanim are going to be punished because they didn't protest what the ministers were doing wrong. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue with this tomorrow. And again, today's daf was learned L'zecha Nishmas Moshe Dov Ben Shol Pinchas and L'zecha Nishmas Yisrael Akiva Ben Naftali. Neshamos should all have an aliyah. Everyone have a very good, safe, and productive day if possible.